Guys, thank you very much. If you want to take your seats, I'll try and get my wire sorted out. Apparently this is the Britney mic, I've been told. So I don't know if it's the actual one she uses in conferences or not. But there we are. Thank you for inviting me back. Anyway, it's always, always to be nice to come back and to preach in Tewkesbury. Seeing as it's where I work and live, it's nice to actually come here and do some stuff. I'm sorry, you've probably already remembered now, I'm the person who walks around a lot. I cannot stand still when I'm doing stuff. Apologies for that. But there we are. I'm going to talk today to you about a topic called hope. Although that sounds quite vague right now, I hope it's going to make some a message there. So my ears stick out too much. There we are. Is that all right? That's still working. Yeah, you're still getting me there. That's good. So my story begins in 600 BC or thereabouts. All right. So we're gonna go all the way back to the Judah tribe when it fell to Babylon, and exiles were taken to Babylon around about that time. And really, I think more than anything, I want you to try and imagine what they were going through at the time. Imagine that you were an exile taken from Judah to Babylon, taken from your home, taken from everything that you knew was safe, taken from everything that you knew was normal, and all of a sudden everything gets completely and utterly turned on its head, and everything's different, everything becomes changed, and you're faced with difficulties that you've never faced before. You're faced with disappointments, and I would imagine one of the biggest ones was where is God in all of this? Where is God? Where's God in my life right now? He's supposed to be the one that's looking after me. He's supposed to be the one that's standing up for me. He's supposed to be the one that's defending me. I mean, that's what it says. And all of a sudden, there's no rescue. There's no one coming in at the last minute to save the day. And it would feel, I would imagine, for those guys, that there is no hope. There is no future. And as we were looking at there, they were powerless to affect their circumstances, which actually, funnily enough, and I didn't bribe anybody before we started, it turned out to be one of the things that came up on the anxious list. That it's been impossible to do anything about it. They are now in a situation where everything's out of their control. And basically, a feeling, I would imagine at this point, very much without hope. Now, the feeling of having no hope, the feeling of having no hope in your situation that you're in or wherever you're at, has to be one of the worst experiences that we can go through. It's one of complete despair. It drains us of energy. There's no purpose to life. There's no purpose in living. There's no direction. If we have no hope, we have nothing to live for. And we don't see any joy in life anymore. We just see the difficulties that it puts in front of us all the time. And I think more than anything, it disempowers us from seeing what we can truly achieve, who we truly are. Our true capabilities in life itself. So it is absolutely, utterly important that we guard our hearts as massively as we can against the stuff that will come against us. In Proverbs it says, guard your heart because it has a wellspring of life. And there is there's a massive part of things that happen in life that will be bombarding us constantly. And we've got to guard ourselves against it. Bad stuff happens in life. Yeah, that's the preach is not about bad stuff. I'm sorry, it's not. I'm not here to explain why bad stuff happens. But what we are here to do is have a look at, what do we do with that? When we are bombarded with bad stuff, how do we actually handle it? And as I was trying to mention in this bit here, we can choose to focus on it. We can choose. Whatever we focus on in life, that's what gets bigger. Okay, that's what we will do. So you can, and I've met people with like the most blessed life you can imagine, and they've got everything that they've ever wanted, but there's one thing wrong with it. Do you know what I mean? Just one thing, and you would think it was the end of their world, because all they're thinking about is that one thing, and they have blown it up. So it's because it's the one thing they continuously focus on. If only that wasn't there, then I'd be happy. And it becomes that one issue that stops them and robs them from having a happy life. I've met lots of people that can do that. And conversely, I've met or I've heard of people, actually I've seen Bob Monkhouse, which he wasn't a believer, but he was absolutely blew me away when he said this, actually. He was in a TV interview. He had cancer. And he was going around very, very happy and being able to handle it. And the interviewer said, "How can you be so happy?" And he said, "I know I can't affect the circumstance. I know I cannot affect this. I know what it's doing to me, but how I look at it, I can change." And it was by the very way that he was looking at his cancer was enabling him to keep happy all the way through to the end, which was a staggering thing to hear from an unbeliever. I thought that someone he was looking at and going, "I'm actually going to change the way I look at my terminal illness and change it around," was absolutely amazing. Bad stuff happens, and the question is, do we let our hearts get affected by it? And what I was trying to bring out with the kids thing was that God is the chief shepherd of our souls. He is the one that looks after us at the end of the day. He's the one that's standing in front of us every single minute of every single day saying, "Let me have your worries. Let me have your anxieties. Let me have the stuff that's weighing you down." Every single minute. He doesn't want us to carry around any weight at all. He doesn't want us to be bogged down with the things that get chucked at us. He knows better than anybody the bad stuff that happens in life. He knows the things that we have to go through. And always, he's asking us to just give them over to him, to trust them with him. Which is a difficult thing to do sometimes, because a lot of the time we think we can handle things better than God. Yeah? Do you? I do. Do you know what I mean? I've got lots of good ideas. I'm sure I can do things better than God sometimes. But apparently not. Apparently he's got more wisdom. And this is what I find on a regular basis. I remember a situation once where I worked in insurance before as a teacher. And I was going to get, I was being forced into a different job, or it looked that way. And I was really stressed to a point where I felt heavy. I felt very weighted down by it, and it was all I could think about. Life was good, but all I could think about was what was going to happen with my job. That was it. My job. That was all that was on, and I was getting, I don't know if it was getting headaches with it, but it was one of those things where I could feel a huge pressure. And in the end, I remember where I was in Cheltenham Post Office, and I was like, I just said quietly, I didn't shout it because that would have been weird. I said, "God, I give this to you. I cannot handle this pressure anymore. I cannot handle this weight any longer on me. Whatever the future is, I'm just going to trust you with it. Wherever it is that happens from this point on, I'm going to trust you with it. But I'm giving you this job situation because I'm no longer having it." And the weight that was lifted off me, I felt so light. It was unbelievable, the emotional difference between walking into the post office and walking out of the post office. I mean, nobody comments in the post office. I don't think they you know, I mean, it's strange. But the point was like, I was thinking, "Oh, it's great. Now, whatever happens, I know God's going to be with me in it." It wasn't on my head all of a sudden. It just wasn't there because my heart had been trusting God with it. And it's important that what we fix our minds on. And I like this list. I like the fact that she drew a cross, actually, rather than do it. Because I didn't know she did that deliberately, but I was looking at that in the last song, and I was going, "Oh, look at what she's done there." Because that's actually what it's about. It's about bringing your burdens to the cross of Christ, and then from there, moving on to the positive stuff. Because it's hard to focus on the positive if we're always bogged down with the negative. It's hard to focus on the things that are good about life, like chocolate or blue skies or whatever you want on that, if we're always focusing on the things like exams or whatever. And I know that you've got to go through some rubbish. I know we've all got to go through some rubbish in life. But at the same time, and I never want to belittle any of that, there is a massive, massive benefit in just giving that over to God, letting him have it, because that's all he asks us to do all the time. And then we're released and freed to be able to focus on the things that are good. But hope can be taken from us by all sorts of things. And so bad circumstances, bad experiences, the way family members can treat us and think of us, bosses, teachers came up again. No, that's bad, isn't it? But the list does go on. And it's one of those things that the way that authority members especially treat us can make a big difference. And we listen to other people to work out who we are a lot of the time. We listen to other people, we listen to how they treat us. We listen to the things they say about us or to us. But the only person who really knows us inside out is God. And we therefore need to get his opinion of us. We therefore need to get his view of us really ingrained in our hearts rather than what everyone else is saying or everyone else is thinking. I remember preaching years back this was, and this is a warning for all of you now, actually. I remember preaching, and I thought it had gone all right. But the way it works, I'll explain. I've worked this out now. The way it works is if you've done a bad preach, people go, "Well, it was interesting." That's you know, that's as bad as you get. It's a middle class church. "Well, it was interesting. Thanks." Yeah. And then, because no one will say it's bad. Do you know what I mean? Or they'll just ignore you, and that'll be about as much as, you know, that's as bad as it can get. And if it was a good preach, sorry, if it was a satisfactory preach, you'd be like, "Oh, that was nice, thank you." And you get this kind of, so everything's elevated to a certain level, because no one can say that, you know, it was bad, because that's really bad, isn't it? Anyway, this one guy, this after a preach, I thought he went all right. This one guy, he just gave me the filthiest look after, sorry, it wasn't him. He just gave me the filthiest look after this preach. As if to say, like, "That was the worst thing I've ever heard." And it's funny, because it was a look. It wasn't a word. It didn't speak anything. He just looked at me. It was just the way he looked at me. And it just went straight in. And I thought, "Man, I can't do this. I can't preach." That it just robbed me completely of everything in me. I couldn't do it. And I went to school the next day, and my lessons were shockingly bad. So I'm teaching. Now I've gone from not being able to preach to not being able to teach maths as well. And they were all, it's like, this isn't a good situation. It just became so disempowering. One look, that was all it took. One look, one kind of, "I really value that person's opinion, and oh my goodness, they think that I'm not very good." And it robbed me completely of my own, of the truth, really, that I could teach maths, apparently, anyway, some people tell me, and I can't preach, but they robbed me of that, and that was quite powerful. I mean, in a bad way, but powerful. And it's amazing how negative transmissions in that way, negative words or negative looks or whatever, can make such a difference in our lives, and rob us of what our true potential is, rob us of what our true calling is, and we need to be careful with this. And so, if we go back to the exiles in Babylon, they're at the lowest ebb. I mean, life couldn't get much worse as far as they were concerned. The future is looking as bleak as they've known it. And to make matters worse, there's a prophet called Jeremiah who's just telling everyone what a sinner they are, which is nice, isn't it? And that they've not been going to church enough or something like that. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing that prophets tend to do. So in this moment where things are not going well, this most depressing verse comes this probably most commonly known scripture, which is Jeremiah 29 verse 11, where he says the following: "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, prior to this, he's just been preaching like, "It's all bad, you're all rubbish," and all of a sudden this comes out, and it's like, well, this actually is something different. This is from God, and God saying that he's got plans to do some good for you. More than that, he's got plans to prosper you. That he's not against you in any way at all. And his plans are to give you hope and a future. And it set me off thinking, how would it make people feel? How would it make them feel at the time when they heard that? If it were anything like me and they're surrounded by just rubbish at this point, I'd have been like, "Yeah, all right, I'll believe it when I see it." Yeah, when I see the promised land, then I shall believe this prophecy. Right now, I'll just, you know, this is all I can see. But I don't know. Maybe they were better than me at the time, and they were hanging on to that as a decent word. It is a very commonly used verse in Christian circles. "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, and not to harm you." You'll hear that quite a lot. But I don't use it lightly today. Today, I very much see this, and as I was praying over this week about what to bring for you guys, I very much see this over each and every one of you today. That this is what God is actually saying to you as individuals and as a church. That he has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That is direct from God for you today, this morning. That he has given you a future. That there is a massive hope and a massive future for each and every one of you. And there is a real sense that we need to, you know, you might not see that in your lives right now. You might see it in your circumstances right now. But by faith, to receive that there is something ahead. that there is something to look forward to. There is something there which is an absolute brilliant future. And to speak that over you, that I have a great hope, not me, I mean, maybe I do, but for yourself, to speak that out. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I have a great hope, I have a great future. Because that's what God is saying about you right now. That's what God is saying to you right now. That's what God has got for you right now. As we sit here, or I stand, but you sit. Yeah, God has got a great hope. God has got a great future for each and every one of your lives. And you might not know what that looks like right now. You might not know. But God will start to reveal things to you as you hold on to that by faith, that this can get so, so much better. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. Again, we're just looking at circumstances and what happens with them and what God achieves through negative circumstances into the better ones. It says this: our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So that every single time that we look at this and we go through the mill and we go through horrible times and we go through things that are bad, and everyone has bad days, bad weeks, bad months, bad years. Everyone has to go through that. They happen. And it's not nice. But God has got, I'm working through that, an eternal glory that goes and starts immediately, really. That tomorrow will be brighter than today. There is a future that is coming which is going to be a lot better in lots of ways. The things we go through make us stronger and create within us more glory. And even wherever we're at, if we're thinking there is no hope, there is no future, Jesus meets you even there. Jesus' grace goes so far that it meets you exactly where you are. It's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing message. And it's probably been the biggest thing I keep coming back to. It doesn't matter where we think we are. It doesn't matter how lost we think we are. It doesn't matter how far away from God we think we are. Jesus still meets us even there. All we have to do is tell him that we want him, and he'll be there. And there's God-given dreams, there's God-given hopes in each and every one of our hearts. There's God-given plans that he wants to bring back to life in us right now. He's not given up on anyone. He never does that. He has huge plans. And he wishes to add into our lives, to enrich our lives. This is God. This is what he's like. He wants us to be blessed. And to be a blessing. And this is important that we try and see what he's got for us in the future. There's hopes in our hearts right now that we may have squashed down, that we may have forgotten about, that we may have let die or whatever. But God wants us to resurrect those. He wants them to bring those back, those dreams, those things that you've had, you've held on to in the past or whatever it is. He wants to bring back. He wants you to know that there is hope, there is future for those things. And there are things from there that is important, because hope is released in people in many, many different ways. And it's all sorts of different situations. In some, it's finding out what's blocking it in the first place. Yeah, what is it that blocks these things? I remember God told me, there was someone who had authority over my life years back. And all of a sudden, I was doing nothing. I was just pumping up a bike tire at the time. And God said, I want you to forgive this person for the way that they viewed your life, the way that they've just looked at you as not being worth anything. And I was like, I wasn't even thinking anything of it. Do you know? I thought, well, this is like, doesn't make any sense, but I'll do it anyway. It's God's time to do it. So I forgave that person. And immediately, the next thing that entered my head was, do you know you could be ahead of maths? Now, I don't think I want to be ahead of maths, I'll be honest with you. But that wasn't the point. The point was, actually, I could do a lot more than I'm doing at the moment. Do you know what I mean? It was immediately, the minute I forgave this person, the view of them that said, actually, you can't do anything with your life, went away. And I stopped looking at my life through that person's eyes, which was very important, because I'd been looking at my life always through this person's eyes, because they'd had this negative view of me so long. And it's difficult if someone's got a negative view of you and they're inputting it into you all the time, that you start to look at yourself like that. You start, actually, is that who I really am? And so I had thought, you know, this is the ceiling, I can't go any higher. And all of a sudden, God was like, is it? It's not the ceiling at all. You can do so much more. You can go so much more. There is so much more hope for you. There's so much more of a future for you. Don't be put off. Don't be stopped by somebody else's view of you. Don't ever let anybody else tell you what you're capable of, because only God knows that. And so there was this part of that which really just went, wow, okay. So sometimes that's, and that was forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very, very powerful tool. And it's also trying to get a knowledge of what it is that truly lives inside of us. Colossians 1, verse 27, says the following, and I was just really sums it all up nicely. It says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you. Christ lives in us. Christ himself lives in us. His power lives in us. His glory lives in us. His majesty lives in us. Everything about him lives in us. His resurrection power, everything about that lives inside of us. And so we are capable through that power. We are capable through the fact that he lives in us to make a massive change in our own world and in the world around us. We are absolutely massive power that lives inside of us. And I think we forget that too easily. I think we let other people tell us who we are too easily. And actually, when we start to reflect on the fact that, well, the Bible says Christ lives in me, that must make me quite powerful. Yeah? That must mean I can do stuff. That must mean I can do the kind of things that Jesus did. There's a scary thought. Yeah? But it is. It's true. I could start going around and doing a few things that Jesus did. Because he lives in me. His power lives in me. His words live in me. I've got his mind. Those are the things that the Bible says. And the more we get that into our heads, the more we actually understand and reflect on who we truly are, the less we'll be affected by who the world says that we are. And about who the world says we've got to be. If we're going to fit in, or if we're going to do the things that we have got to be accepted by, or whatever. Christ wants to speak his message through us, and he wants to liberate us and liberate the world through us. The hope of the world is Jesus, but we are also the hope of the world as we let that hope out. His light shining through us liberates us, and that light then brings liberation to other people. And that is a powerful, powerful message. The more we can reflect on the fact that he lives in us, the less we will fear, the less we will be anxious, the less we will worry, and the more we will actually rejoice in the things that he's got for us. There were a few things. I really wanted to bring some specifics today. And there were a few things that I was reflecting on. There's people here today, and I'm going to read this because these are the things that came. There was one thing that came in the service itself, actually. People have hopes to see members of their household saved, and they're letting them go. And that was one thing. If you've got people in your household that are not saved, or people in your family or extended family that are not saved, God wants you to keep those hopes alive. He wants you to keep those hopes real. There's an absolute brilliant part in Mark where you'll probably know the story, where four men bring a paralyzed man to Jesus, and they have to lower him through the roof of Peter's house. Yeah. And it says in there, because of their faith, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It doesn't say because of the paralyzed man's faith. It says because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. Your hopes, your faith can bring people to Christ. Your hopes, your faith can bring people to know him, to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, to a salvation point. Because you can carry a paralyzed man to Jesus. By your faith, you can carry a paralyzed person all the way there and see them come to know him. And know that there is that power, there is that hope, there is that faith that can do those things. And that's what works, that's what makes it. But that was the last thing that came. These were the things that I was getting yesterday. People are here today who have massive dreams to see their workplace won for Jesus. And God is saying, see it and believe it. For you, try and, you know, to pray into that, but just see that happening. Get that hope alive inside of you. People who are here who have had dreams to see a powerful Christian influence in education, and God is saying, dream again. I want this to happen. I want to see this happen. People are worried that they have no future and God is finished with them. Well, that's complete rubbish. And I'm not being horrible, but it is complete rubbish. People I have mentioned already, God is never finished with any of us. God is always, always on our side, always working for us, always working for our good, and always, always, always has a hope. And specifically today, I'm saying, for every single one of us, has a hope and a future. People here today thinking that they have too many problems. God could not work through them. And again, God's saying, just start where you are. God is saying, just start exactly where you are. I'll meet you where you are. And we can work through everywhere where you think. Weirdly, and this is just between us, everyone's got loads of rubbish in their lives. It's just a little thought. Most people put this huge front up and they make out that they're really together. But actually, most people's lives are a mess inside. It's just a little thing I'd let you in on. I don't know if you knew it already, but that's just the way it is. And that's life. But don't let the fact that you think you've got issues disqualify you from the fact that God wants to use you. Or God wants has got a future and a hope for you. I've seen this happen with people where they say, God can't do this with me yet because I've got to get this issue sorted out first. I've got to get this issue sorted out first. Just let Jesus do that. Just give it to him and he will do the rest. There's people here today who think that life will always be like this. It's never going to get any better than it is today. And again, God's saying, dream again. Hope again. There is a brighter future. And there's people here today who have been struggling with health issues for a long time who can't see any end to those. And God wants to bring an end to those for you today. He wants to make a massive head start for you today. He wants today to make a major, major imprint in your life today to at least get you on the first step to recovery today. So make sure that if any of those apply to you, that you get some prayer at the end. There was other things that came for prayer in particular. For those that have had your dreams dashed, if you've had hopes, you've had dreams in the past for things, then to say, look, you know, this is something I really, really want to bring back. I really want to hope again. I really, really want to dream again. And we'd love to pray for you. Those who are struggling with burdens, as we went right to the start with this stuff here, anxieties, worries, fears, the things that cause us to be weighed down in life, the things that cause us to be feeling rubbish about ourselves. If you want, again, please come to the front, because God wants to relieve you of that stuff. He doesn't want you to be carrying around that. He doesn't want the first thing you wake up to be a horrible thought of this, of that. I've got to deal with this. I've got to deal with that. This is what's going on with my life. That's not the life that God's got for us at all. He wants our first thought to be about him, and he can make that happen as we give that stuff over. And again, ministry is available for that. We'll pray very, very much into stuff like that. Bad circumstances, experiences that may have robbed people of a true perspective of their worth. If that's you, then please come to the front. Also, specifically, physical injuries. Any injury, really, but there was something that came. Injured shoulder, arm and neck. I don't know if it's all connected or kind of like, but I don't know. But that was, I get these pictures of kind of injuries. Not, it doesn't look gruesome. That sounded weird, didn't it? It's just, don't worry. That's the word, anyway. Don't worry about what I see. It's it's just a bit strange, I know. And again, I know this is off the topic slightly, but people to be immersed in God's love. God's saying that there are people here today that he would very much love to immerse in his love. So if that is any of the things that you want, then please come to the front for prayer. I know tea and biscuits are very tempting, but there's some really good opportunity for prayer there. And I'm going to finish there, but I would love to pray with anybody who wants to see any of those things or anything else that I've spoken about today. But that's the end for myself. Is that good? Do I introduce the next hymn? I could do that. I've done that before. The next hymn will be Jesus is King and I Will Extol Him. See, it's good. Seamless.